Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
All right, good Sunday afternoon. You've tuned into another episode of Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, here to help you with your car concerns and maladies, and also to supply you with some great entertainment, which we're doing today. Your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Chris Switzer. We have with us today some bi-coastal merriment. We have Chassis John in the house, and we have Alana Scher from, well, John's from Florida, Alana's out in California. Welcome. Everybody, we're going to have a great time today, I know.
Hi, Alana!
All the birds and planes and dogs that you hear are my fault, so sorry about that.
That's quite all right. That's
Come on, we love it. What's a car show without birds chirping?
Well, you know what? I tell you, in this day and age, it's nice because now people can actually, you know, if they're not getting outside, and I know people who aren't, they can do it virtually through us, and that's I say get out there, especially when the weather's nice. You know, it's there's no reason not to. So anyway,
I think of it this way, Ray. We always kind of called ourselves shade tree mechanics first. I mean, right. So now we have the birds and the lemon tree to accompany all of that. So it's
yes,
I am literally sitting under a shade tree. So
beautiful,
that is amazing.
It's working. So, like, together.
Right, right. Well, if you want to get in on the fun with us and speak with Alana and or John, you can call us at our surrogate number, which is 516-256-9510. And don't forget to follow us on social media on, of course, Instagram. Well, Instagram is real_MotormouthRadio. We usually save that for last. But Twitter, Facebook, and the website is MotormouthRadio.com for the website, so you can see the things we get into during the week. We post pictures of our craziness and whatever, and you can join in with us. So give us a call, talk with us. But Alana, we certainly have a lot to speak about since you were last on. You've been getting yourself into the video world, which is cool.
I love it.
What was the impetus for all that?
Well, Tom and I had talked about it before, you know, doing some videos, because I'd been, you know, I'd have always, even when I was at Hot Rod, I always did the, like, little Instagram videos or Facebook Live videos from the stuff that we were working on in our own garage, and people liked it, and they said, you know, they said they thought it was funny to see me and Tom work on stuff together, because, you know, he knows so much, and he's so smart, and he's pretty good at explaining it, but then I'll push him to, like, explain it a little bit more, some of the more basic stuff, so we were like, well, you know, we might as well just make some YouTube videos. And they're, like, really basic, because neither one of us wants to do any editing. So they're just one takes, you know, one shot all the way through, no editing, throw it up on YouTube. And people seem to like them. So, in fact, we need to do one this afternoon. We skipped a week last week.
Oh, cool. And you do get to see wiener dogs popping out of car seats and cockpits, and it's pretty cool.
Yes, there's a lot of dog content, so we can please all of the all of the children and spouses who are not so interested in the car stuff but do like a good dog surprise.
Well, I think you have a good formula because, you know, a male-female husband-wife team is always good because it's kind of like when Chris and I would do stuff. There was always that yin and yang. There was the diametrically opposed thoughts. But Tom, you know, like I said, Tom is such a nice guy, and he always comes at things like, I think even when he may want to correct something that you say or do, he doesn't, because he's such a nice guy, which is, you know, and it's nice to see, because we see enough combative crap all over the place. You know, it's nice to see a relationship that works well. So,
Alana, what kind of... What kind?
Don't forget that's never wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. What kind of videos are you doing? You say you're not getting into the heavy stuff. What kind of videos are we talking about here as far as... What are we learning?
Well, we've been doing kind of two or three different styles. One is just, you know, we have so many vehicles. We've talked about it before on the show. I think we've 12 or 13 different cars. And so we've just been going through them one by one, doing a walk around, firing them up. If it drives, taking it out for like just a little drive, just like around the block. And that's been really fun. People like that. So we did the Opel and we did the Ford Wrecker. And we just did the Trans Am because people have been following the Trans Am that I bought last summer.
Right. What year is it? What year is the Trans Am?
81.
Oh, mine.
Wow, it's the small motor. Right? That's the first year for the turbo, right?
It's the second year for the turbo. Last year for the 301, for the Pontiac powered V8 Pontiac. Last year for that body style. So.
You gave a very good history of that car and the engine on the video, which, Chris, you should check that out.
You can also
see that Alana drove the car in style in a Burt Reynolds jacket and a wedding dress at the same time, which was excellent. And, you know, but are they, I want to know, though, see, because I'm a detail guy and I always look past the main focus. Are they dingo or Fry boots that you're wearing?
They were Fry.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they were
fried. Nice choice with the wedding dress, too, by the way. That was excellent.
Very cool. Yeah, it's, you know, the good thing about having a you know, a wedding dress that isn't really very fitted is, like, you're going to fit in it as long as you need to.
Yeah, and hopefully you won't need to anymore, you know? No, that was great, because that's a car that was always kind of glossed over. And you had mentioned how, you know, the performance. Tom had some good thoughts on that, too, with the performance. You compared it to the Corvette and the Porsche and other cars of that era, of that year, in fact. And, you know, for most hot rod guys, like, we didn't really pay attention to those cars because, yeah, it was a 301. But it was kind of groundbreaking with the type of turbo that they did. It's a draw-through deal, which is, you know, no one else really had done that, especially not in America. So,
yeah. I think it's a really interesting car, and we did talk about it on the video. It's like any of the vehicles that are kind of on the cusp of new technology, they might not be good by the standards that you're normally thinking about, like in terms of high performance numbers or even reliability, but they're very interesting because you're getting to see how people were problem solving when they didn't have anything to compare to look at before, you know? So it's like, is a 69 muscle car incredible? Absolutely. But really, like, the 63, 64 performance cars are kind of cooler because the engines that they were developing and the induction systems and stuff, that's what eventually became, like, you know, a tri-power or six-pack car, Hemi car, right, or whatever.
Right. No, that was cool. So, what's the that car is good to go now? You've been driving it. Did you change the wheels yet?
No, I mean, everything's been shut down here, so I'll have to look. The tire shop might be open. I might be able to get tires for it. You know, everything is like, we're, you know, Tom and I are both working, but definitely less work than normal. So, trying to be sensible about spending large amounts of money right now.
Right.
So I know what the summer is going to look like. But, and also, the AAA and the DMV are closed, so I can't actually register it. So.
Okay.
But I don't have anywhere to go anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Where did you find the car from, Alana?
Out in the desert, about 40 miles, 50 miles from here, Palmdale area.
Right.
And, it was, you know, and the guy we bought it from was from New Zealand, and I think his buddy had come over and gone to an auction and got all excited and bought this Trans Am and parked it at his house and then gone back to New Zealand and kind of forgot about it. And so eventually he told his buddy, like, hey, I hate this car. It's leaking all over my driveway. My wife hates it. you know, either come get it or I'm going to sell it. And the guy was like, eh, just sell it and send me the money. So that was what we ended up doing.
So it's been sitting in the sun for X amount of years, so it probably needs paint. The dash is probably a cracked mess. I'm just speculating here.
Not too bad. It wasn't sitting for too long. I think it was at the guy's house for maybe 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
You know, it was, as we worked on the car, it became pretty obvious that it was, somebody had done a pretty quick job on it to get it to an auction and sell it. So it has a fairly recent paint job, although it's not a good paint job. Mm-hmm. But it looks good. And someone redid the interior, and the interior is really nice.
Yeah. Mm. And it's brown with the brown, velour interior, which is nice. Nice combination. And Tom did address all the tough stuff, like the doors and the gas door. You know, all the tough stuff that goes bad with those cars. So.
Oh, meaning like the heaviness of the door and it drops. Yeah. So you got to pick it up to close it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those hinges are weak.
Yeah. All too well. Know it all too well. Yeah, so I'm sure. Our producer is throwing pictures up.
what had happened to the dash in that car, Lana? The engine turn dash was a little messed up. Did you
I think maybe somebody tried to. It might have been, I think it got a little bit corroded because, you know, it's like a aluminum. And then I think somebody maybe tried to clean it with either a harsh chemical or a scrub pad or something, because you can see it's sort of, the pattern's a little bit smirched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a word. Smirched.
I remember those panels, and I think it was on the brown cars, had like a gold tone to it originally. And
you get gold or silver. I think this is not my. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I don't know exactly which ones. It might have been only the black and gold cars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think the gold was only for a special edition car.
Got it.
I had. I know, Ray, you can understand this. I had the a 71 Riviera, as did you, and it had the engine tune dash.
Yeah.
And I try cleaning it with something that I thought was really not going to be too too caustic, but it did, like Alana said, it started to almost wear away at that engine tune, and I said, oh, I can't use this anymore. And there was one spot on that dash that had that, and I can't remember what it was. It was something like fantastic. I mean, it wasn't really anything that would really be too threatening to the surface.
I'll tell you this. I like the engine turn so much that in my 65 GTO, which has a wood grain applique, I was going to put the 64 engine turned applique on because I just like it. I thought it was so much more of a muscle kind of look, but I didn't. So, anyway.
Yeah, I love the engine turning. But, man, Chris, I was thinking about there's like a special kind of pain when you do a damage.
Yes.
To your car that can't be undone, that you then have to like look at all the time.
You stare at it. Your eyes burn it.
So bad. I have a scratch in the fender of the Challenger. It's not as noticeable now because there's a lot more scratches, but when pretty soon after the car had come back from paint, I was leaning over to do something and I was wearing some Buttonfly jeans and one of the buttons was undone and it was like, I felt it. And then I looked and I saw it, and it was like every time I walked out to the car and saw that scratch, I was just like, "Ugh!"
I totally understand. Ray definitely has a couple of painful stories. You know, the hood of your Chevy SS, Ray. I know. Was it the hood or the roof?
No, the hood was damaged by my garage. I didn't do it.
Right.
The garage did.
But, you know, like, what was it that something had fallen onto the hood of the car?
I my brand new car at the time. And
I know. Alana, this pains Ray to no end. Ray doesn't want to tell the story. He'll openly weep telling the story, believe
me. I'm not going to tell it. I come to the car, hit the garage door opener, just got up the steps to go in the house and heard thunk. I'm like, oh, no. And I opened the door again and pulled back the car cover, and I saw this dent, a rounded dent on the hood. I knew what it was. An oil filter in a box fell off the shelf upside down and just, boom, impacted the hood. I was like, yeah, it figures. my Pontiac's in the paint shop right now. That's the latest posts on social media. And I almost want to leave it there. Like, after it's painted, just, yeah, keep it there. It's all right, because I know as soon as I bring it home, something's going to fall on it in my own garage. I'm just, like, what's the sense? You know? I don't know.
Alana, how is, when you do the videos, do you include, like, are there mess-ups or something like that that you include in there? And if so, what?
Well, like I said, we're not doing any editing, so if there is a mess-up, yeah, it's staying in there because we're not cutting it out. We have done some full retakes if there was a mess-up that was big enough that we felt it, like, if it's not funny, like, if it's just something that's annoying, or, you know, like, we forget to open the gate, so then we can't drive the car out, so then there'd be, like, 10 minutes of fiddling with the gate and putting the dogs inside or whatever, you know, we'd probably just redo the take.
I'd want to watch that. I'd want to watch.
I have to say that you said the right word, funny, and your and Tom's brand of humor is very eclectic, and you let it show a little bit, which is great, because I look for that, and that is the fun part. It shows the human side. But you guys are both, you're pros, so you know what you're doing. But the thing I like the best is when you put Tom on the spot, like the video where you bought the storage locker with the stuff that people can't see behind you right now because we're on radio. You got this ton of stuff. You did a two-part video, and you know, Tom is just kind of glossing through, trying to get through this labyrinth of stuff, and you're like, "No, stop, Tom! What's in that box?" And oh, well, it looks like some machine equipment. Well, tell us what it is. And you can see his mental gear stop, click, and now he has to recalibrate himself to now tell you what's in there. And I don't know if you try to trip him up or not. You ain't going to do it because the guy is good. But again, it's laughable for us.
No, I think one thing that we talked about when we were doing this was that, you know, we're definitely a team on it. So, you know, we try to give each other a little bit of a hard time, but not, you know, overall, I think we both want to make the other person, you know, look good and be comfortable on the video, because it's not fun. I don't like watching something where people aren't being nice to each other. So,
right.
You know, with the kind of getting on Tom to explain stuff more, it's more like anytime you're working with somebody who's an expert, they're like, oh, you know, this is just a boring machine, so, you know, let's move on. And you're just like, I don't think everyone knows what a boring machine is.
Unless it's a machine that's boring.
Yeah. All machine.
No. Right. Not an exciting machine.
Chris, give the phone number. How can someone get in on this and speak with Alana?
You got to give me the phone number. I just lost a piece of paper.
Give us a call, 516-256-9510.
Let me write that down, Ray.
Well, you just have to answer. You don't have to call it.
And give me that number again.
516-256-9510. And you can
call
Alana and Chassis John.
Alrighty.
Alana,
thank you.
How's the storage locker stuff been doing? Have you posted anything on eBay or made any sales?
Yeah, we've been every day Tom pulls something out and I take photos of it and we clean it up. I've been scraping a lot of gaskets because there were a lot of intakes and stuff. We're trying to sell things semi-clean. And yeah, we've sold, I think, 5 intakes and almost all the rear end parts and
nice
bunch of carburetors. So yeah, we didn't buy the thing as a money-making exercise. We really bought it because so a friend of ours had passed away and his sister was paying storage fees on this thing, and our friend Jeff was kind of in charge of trying to sell the stuff. He didn't have time. And so we kind of bought it more as a favor to the sister than anything else. We wanted like 2 things out of the storage locker. But we've money.
Right. No, that's cool. That's good that you're making some leeway, because you got an eclectic bunch of stuff. Yeah, there's the gasket. And of course, we know Alana has matching Felpro blue nail polish, which is great. I'm going to get some of that myself. It's like,
that was
get it just because
it's a total accident. I didn't even think about it.
That's cool. It's amazing. You put up something like that, like showing a video where you're scraping an old gasket with a razor blade, and the comments that ensue, you should have done this, you should have done that. You know, everybody's got their method, which is valid. There's a lot of ways of doing it, but I don't know how. It just seems to be the nature of the beast with stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I find that most of the people, at least that I'm dealing with, are pretty, like, they're pretty cool about it. I don't feel like I'm being told that I was doing it wrong, more that people want to share, like, their preference or their interest.
Right.
What I like is when you do something like that, like a gasket or power washing or something, man, that is a loud bird. And then everybody is like, oh, I really liked watching that. That was really satisfying. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I like doing it.
Right.
I think we have a call.
Stuff and make it
we did, yeah. I don't know. I don't think we have them anymore. But
you have me.
I got gotcha. You.
Oh, we do.
Ray, Chris, John, Alana, it's Billy G.
Hi.
Hi, Alana. How are you, dear?
I'm great. I was just talking about you the other day because I have a friend who's doing some research on New York street racing. I was like, oh, you should talk to my friend Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that, 6.5 years ago, huh, Alana?
I can't believe it was that long ago, but yeah.
Yeah, we go back. In fact, I'm listening to the show, and I'm listening. I know you got the Opal, but I'm thinking about the Landy ramp hauler. You still have it?
Yep, absolutely. So we've got that one, and then we ended up buying another one as well. So we've got two old Pro Stock racing haulers. The new one that we got is Bobby Yule's ramp hauler. He wasn't as famous as Dick Landy, obviously, but Bobby Yule.
Yeah.
I love
when
technology
good.
Works. Yeah, technology is working here, Bill. This is great.
How's everybody doing? Yeah.
Well, good. You're hanging in there. Bill, what are you up to?
You know, I came in. I'm in the garage, and I said, okay, it's coming on 12 o'clock. Let me listen to this show. And plug in, and I'm still in my 10x20, Alana. I have the garage at the house. I have the garage at my mom's. I have a garage in the neighborhood, and then Bobby Valenti's garage where you did the story in the backyard. I have half of that garage now too.
That's amazing. Nice. It's like garages everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And what else? I added a couple of cars since you saw the 74 Corvette, which I still have. And then, you know, the Roadster, Bobby's Roadster, is actually out on the West Coast. They've been trying to sell it to auction. And unfortunately, you know, as everybody knows, the cars from yesteryear, those hand-built jalopies, so to speak, they don't command the respect, or they don't command the interest with the new technology. I mean, you know.
Is that the red car?
The red car, yeah. The Rolls okay. Royce, yeah. The Rolls Royce Rods, yeah. Man,
that's quite yeah. To build that car. That's an interesting car.
Yeah, you know, when they, back in the day, you know, and then even when, I'm in Marty Shore, and even when Marty remembered photographing that car when it was on the circuit of all the armories on the East Coast, Marty actually photographed that car, you know, back in 61, 62. Yeah, the 348 actually had the Strombergs on it at the time, and then sold it. Now it's got the tri-power. But interesting stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What's that on?
I remember that car because we went to his house and everybody was hanging out. It was like the whole big family. It felt very New York, Italy, right? Like big family and classic car.
People throwing sandwiches around, yeah. While yelling.
yeah, which the segue is into, you know, with this the new society that we're living in. I'm still going forward, I think, with the car show this year. I think, you know, I don't want to be the guy that all these kids, you know, start playing these games and everything, and everybody's not social distance, and next thing, you know, nobody's going to school because they're sick. Right. I got to really think this one through.
Yeah. What do you normally do that?
Well, it's September. It's the first the first Sunday after Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, we got time. We got time.
Yeah, I think so. I got to pull a permit for it. I have a 90-day window from the event, so I'm good. I'm good at June still. So,
well, fingers crossed. Because I know everybody would like to see each other again, but you're right. You know, you don't want to be responsible for a bunch of people getting sick, and you know, especially a car show. Our audience is, in the age range that needs to watch out for this thing.
Yeah, get that right.
Oh, I know. That's the horror. You know, it's the horror, Alana, of them doing the mailing list, that you get a return to sender unable to deliver, because then you find out that somebody else passed away. You know, it just, that's the part that breaks your heart now.
Yeah,
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I like doing, you know, interviews, I've learned that if I get the opportunity to talk to someone, if there's any way that I can make that happen, even if it's inconvenient, I ought to do it, because I can't tell you how many times I've said, oh yeah, you know, let's set that up later, and then it's too late. Most recently, Larry Rathgeb, who was the engineer on the wing cars, the Daytona and the Superbird, he just passed away last month. I mean, he was 90, but he got this coronavirus and it took him out, which is really unfortunate, because he was doing really well, and I'd just seen him a couple months previously, and you know, I was pretty, I mean, I'm sure his family's also very bummed about it, but I was bummed because I really wanted to talk to him more. He was really funny, and he knew so much about the history of the NASCAR racing and everything else, and you know, it's all, yeah, all good with him.
In the media game, you know, we get to talk with people, not as much as you do, but we've had some prominent people in our orbit, and I've looked at it, it's such a blessing and then a curse on the other hand, because you get to speak with these people and then you don't know if there's going to be a follow-up, and you know, that's the bittersweet part of it. So we just have to take the good with the bad, I guess, or the bad with the good.
Mm-hmm.
But
every week I find out somebody that I went to high school with is gone.
Oh, we're too young for that.
I got people that graduated with me in 76 that they are not around anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Or parents. Their parents.
Right. Yeah. Very true.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the biggest fear of calling somebody and reaching out, and then you're finding out that all of a sudden they're a statistic, or you know, they're not doing well, and it's right. You know.
Bill, will the show have a seat this year?
What's that?
Will the show have a theme this year, like you have in the past?
You know, I think it's going to be a theme out of the WWE Survivor Series. I don't know yet.
Perfect. I will survive. Let's play some.
You know.
Yeah. The theme will be handing out masks, free masks to everybody that attends the car show. That'll be the theme.
My theme so far is that I'm not soliciting sponsorship money. Because I don't think it's fair to, you know, so I think it's going to be a no frills, last minute, we'll figure it out. You know, we'll tap into, we'll reach into our pockets and do the right thing by people. As of right now, no theme, but.
The show is in September, right? They're telling you the show is in September, so hopefully, we'll be doing better at practicing the social distancing, and everybody will be sporting their own masks, and I'm sure there'll be someone there to provide masks. Knowing you and your expert at preparedness, I would assume the show would be a go.
No pressure. Okay.
No pressure. Let's get it done.
Tell you what else is a go, gentlemen and ladies. We're gonna take a break. Take a bottom of the hour break and do some reestablishing on Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, Alana Scher, Chassis John, and Billy G. You can hang on the phone if you like and come back with us in the second segment. We'll chat some on
Terrific. Thank you.
Alrighty, on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motor Mouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
All right, and you're back with Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Today we have Alana Scher out in California, and Chassis John in Florida, and Billy G on the line in glorious Queens. We're back in session, folks. What can I say?
We're back and getting all the levels straight, getting all the volume straight. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, Alana, we have to make sure that after I hang up and during the course of the day, I got a new iPhone, so I lost half my contact numbers, and unfortunately, you were one of them that I lost. So I can give Ray a good number that he can pass on to me. This way, we can stay in touch. Okay.
No problem.
Right. Thank you.
I love when the show gets personal.
I know. So, Elana,
that's awesome.
Back to the video series. You also did two other videos that were great, and one was you drove the 65 F-350 wrecker that you and Tom bought. Which is a great truck.
Yeah, now I've seen a little bit about this. That's an old. Who's the race car driver that owned it before you?
No, it's a Holmes body tow truck, a wrecker.
Yeah. Oh,
it was a wrecker.
So many trucks. It's understandable that you're thinking of the big ramp truck.
Yeah.
This is the F-350 Ford that Tom got from our friend Brian. Brian's dad bought it new in 65. He worked at a gas station, and so it was the wrecker that the gas station used to bring customers in to the repair shop there.
And Alana, what was your thought for why it was called a wrecker?
Because you wouldn't want to put a good car on it?
Well, you said because you actually went to car wrecks they weren't going to get called accidents. But you gave a piece of trivia that I learned something that's going to really resonate with Chris. Ernest Holmes is the guy who is Holmes, you know, the Holmes wrecker body. He invented the tow truck in 1916.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And what was the first one that he built? Can you, do you remember?
Oh, was it a Cadillac?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, gee.
Talk about putting me on the spot, Ray.
I'm sorry. Well, you know what? I do have notes, so I'm working off my notes.
No, we filmed that months ago. I can't remember what happened last week.
I'm sorry. That's just a piece of trivia that, you know, I knew Chris would love it because he's a caddy guy.
Yeah. Wow. Well, you think about it, the V8 had a lot of torque, I guess, right? Because it did have a V8. And
that's
what
the
was
thing.
That
Rebecca has a V8 as opposed to a 6. It's a 352, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
So, Alana, where did you horse trade this tow truck from?
We, you know, we're running a rescue service. So, again, like, you know, our friend's dad bought it new, and it had just been sitting in the dad's backyard this whole time, basically since it had been parked, I think, in the 70s. And
oh, boy.
And they basically gave it to us, said, if you want to just get it running again. So, you know, Tom needs his projects.
Yeah.
He comes home from his day job and he goes right into the backyard, starts wrenching. And
don't we all? Was it that difficult to do? He really seems that on a video, what was entailed to get it running. I would imagine it was pretty easy.
Yeah, it didn't need much. I think the most complicated thing was digging all the old grease out of the axles in the back. I think everything was kind of frozen up, but the engine was happy to run again. It was just some ignition stuff. And
nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's good.
Nothing like having your own Mater.
No, that's cool. My buddy at the shop, Mike Jr., just bought his own personal tow truck. And it's a short body. They used it in Starrett City, so it had to go through the parking lots, and it's very cool. But yeah, there it is, 352.
Yeah.
Look at that master.
Yeah, I know the line is. It comes out of the top. I was like, what? I was looking at that myself, saying, what the heck? I mean, talk about a good place for an air bubble.
Yeah, right.
You know,
sitting there at the top.
But that main line, it's so big, it almost looks like a rubber hose.
I think that is a rubber hose.
Yeah. No, the brake line is big because they're drum brakes. I know when I've worked on the trucks at the shop, they always have larger diameter brake lines. And
hopefully we'll put this video on motormouthradio.com. Hopefully
that is so easy to work on. You know, plugs like a Pontiac, plugs above the manifold.
Dude, way out. Nice.
Real easy to work on.
Yeah. It's easy to drive too. It's really fun and everybody loves it. I remember we drove it to, not this last year, but the year before, we drove it to Tom Stanley's house for Christmas, and I was like, oh, they're going to be mad at it. They live in a nice neighborhood. I was like, they're going to be mad at us for parking this, you know, in front of their house. But all the neighbors were like, this is so cool. You know, everybody really liked it.
We're going to have a link to that up on motormouthradio.com so people can see that if they're too lazy to go to YouTube, they can find it on our site. As well as our Spotify link, we kind of regenerated that again, and we have a Spotify page that you can find on motormouthradio.com too. It'll just show you kind of the weirdo and eclectic music that I was playing when we were in the studio. But I was looking through it last night and saying, "Damn, there's some good stuff on here."
It's always really nice when you look at your own playlist, or you know, you walk into a parking lot and you see a car and you're like, "Hey, that's a nice car," and you're like, "Oh, that's my car."
But, you know, I don't think I've ever done that.
I think we all have. And the thing is, when you leave the car and you're almost at the store or whatever, and you always turn back and look at it again. That's how you know that.
Well, I do that just to make sure nothing's on fire, nothing's leaking, nothing has fallen off.
That's because you work on your own car. We know you.
Yeah, you turn around and look at the car and make sure that nothing is belching any smoke. There's nothing falling off. There's no major puddles that are under there. That's why I turn around and look at the car. I don't do it like forlorn like you do, like, oh, my car, oh, nice. Yeah. No. I turn around and go, what in the world is that? Oh, that's my car. Yeah. That I do.
You turn around, you're like, oh, that poor sucker. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly. Ilana, one time I was actually waiting for a traffic light, and I heard the screeching noise. And I thought to myself, some poor soul's going to get it. Boom, it was me. Right after I finished the statement in my head, I went, boy, some guy's going to get clobbered. Bang, that was me.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it was. Replacing the bumper on that Cadillac wasn't easy.
Oh boy! So, Billy, how
you
is
know,
things?
Go ahead, Bill.
Bob, I was going to ask you how things
I walked away from the car and actually turned around and looked at like the '74 Corvette and looked to see if the BF Goodrich radial TAs are all facing the same way.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Bill. Oh, yeah, Bill, we have to talk.
I mean, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Bill, we got to talk.
Do you also clock your tires to the valve stem when you mount them?
I put the center caps on, and the caps, the flags are all facing the same way, and you take it to a car show, and you jack it up, and you turn the tire. Stop! I know.
Oh,
Billy! That's why when I take the Nova out with the red lines, I don't have that issue.
I'll tell you what I do. And I learned this from a tire guy. Besides, you know, a lot of tires, Michelins especially, usually have a little dot on the sidewall, and that's supposed to line up with the tire valve when you mount the tire. Not all tires have it, but what I got in the habit of doing years ago, because the tire guy told me, was when you mount the put the wheels on the car, if you have a wheel lock, and this makes absolutely no sense, but like line the wheel lock up closest to the valve stem. I don't know why. I've thought about it. I used to do it blindly. And then I thought about it and said, what the hell's the difference? The wheel doesn't, but I still do it.
Oh, my gosh. Billy, how meticulous can you be, young man?
It's a sickness.
Alana, do you have any quirks or little foibles or things like that that you do?
Oh, not so much with that, not like that kind of stuff. But whenever I get home, I usually give the car a kiss on the steering wheel to tell it did a good job in getting me home.
I like that. That works.
Wow.
I like that. Oh, when we had the TR6, I would pull into the driveway and get right to the garage. And as soon as it would get to the garage, I'd go, yay, it made it.
Well, that was, you know, we've only probably got to do that a couple of times.
Right.
Yeah, there's not many.
Yeah.
I can feel Billy's pain because when I used to do all those car shows at the Nassau Coliseum, I would jack up the car and rotate the tires so that everything was perfect, because that had something to do with points in judging.
Yes, display. And having been a judge of the Nassau Coliseum car show, I can tell you that is correct.
And I would always set my tires up when I mounted them so that valve stem at the bottom and then the name of the tire, Goodyear, Goodrich, whatever it was clocked at, you know, right at the top.
Yeah.
And it made a difference.
Yep. John needs therapy too.
Now, these days I don't worry about that stuff because we're talking about like tires that probably don't even belong on the street, like Hoosier dirt track tires that a lot of me and my friends run, and we just bang them on the wheel and tighten up the bead locks and see you later, bye.
Yeah.
These days there's more street cred being a race car with plates,
right,
to be a show car.
You guys need, who was it, Rolls Royce, Bentley, who was it who had the floating hubcaps so that it
rolls?
Oh, yeah.
Rolls. Yeah. Rolls. Yeah. The nameplate stays upright as the wheel moves.
Yeah.
So it never turns. Yeah.
There's some aftermarket wheels where the center cap has the nameplate and it actually rotates backwards
as
the car is going forward. You know, back in the days, I guess like in the 90s, the early 2000s, when you had those rims with those wheels with the spinners in them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they were a lot of fun.
These donks and these cars that probably weren't worth the money to put them onto. But I've seen them where the cap actually spins backwards as the car is going forward.
So it's got to be weighted. I mean, now there's an engineering problem. That's something.
The weighted ones, they stand still.
Right.
But I've seen ones that there's some sort of mechanism in the hub.
See, I'm thinking if you load us load it with mercury, it could maybe the weight could overcome. Well, that's what I'm saying. Now you got me thinking of an engineering problem.
This is only an hour show.
You're right.
Yeah, I've seen ones where the center stays perfectly still, and then I've seen others where it actually spins backwards. And I'm like, that's pretty wild. And
Alana, you're going to have to go in and ask Tom about this.
Yeah. It's a sun ring gear kind of a thing it's set up on.
No, Alana, please don't ask Tom.
These are the things we want to know. Come on.
So, Ray, I'm just going to send you Tom's phone number and email. TikTok.
Yeah.
Leave the rest of us out of it.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, that's fine.
I thought it was bad enough with Billy setting up his tires and all that good stuff, and then you guys talking about backwards hubs.
Look, you know how it works, Chris. We don't bring this stuff up. We just
I know it's got a mind of its own.
So, Alana, the one thing I learned from the video series was that you can actuate Opel GT headlights as fast or as slow as you like.
That is the truth. They are completely manually controlled with a big old handle.
I would have been using that damn thing as a parking brake, which I wouldn't be the first, I'm sure.
Alana, I'm still shocked you have the opal still. I mean, it's...
No, why?
The opal, I love it. It's someone asked me recently if I had to keep just one car, which would it be? And I was like, oh, you know, there's a 440 CUDA and Challenger. We got an RT Charger and a Trans Am. The opal. The opal is the one that I would keep.
Wow.
No, yeah.
And I mean, everybody went, what?
It's like, you know, my Fiat. You know, everybody gives me crap over it. But I love that little car, and it really does me no wrong. It does exactly what I want it to do. It's high smiles per mile. No one's going to steal it. Really, and because people don't understand it. And it's not like the Opel. It's not hard to understand, but, you know, it's like my little secret, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like the way that.
Yeah. Now, Tom had the best quote, though. You drove the Opel, and he said, it's like driving a go-kart for adults. And that's what I always thought about my own car, my Fiat. The only thing better than that is the Dolly Parton 8-track that you have shoved into the deck in the dashboard.
Yeah, I wish the 8-track worked. It's all for show.
I know a place that can fix it that's local out here. So
yeah,
if you ever want to pull it out, yeah, I know a guy. We know a guy. All right, John.
Everybody's got a guy.
The old little cars are really little because I had somebody swing by the other day to drop something off, and he was driving a new Miata, the MX-5 Miata. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a tiny car, and it looked huge next to the Opel.
Yeah.
It's Chris, you should see when you watch the video. Alana intros the video in a parking lot, and there's a Charger, you know, a late model Charger. And you think that's the car she's going to talk about, except, no, the Opel was... You're just beautifully hidden behind the Charger in the camera angle as you walked around. Boom, there it was, like hidden in plain sight. That was good. That was a nice.
You have to admit, though, the styling of that car still holds up, though. You really have to admit that on that Opel.
Well, you know, Bill, because it looks just like your Corvette.
Our friend Cliff.
Yeah, the Coke bottle. Yep.
Yeah.
Our friend Cliff just sent me an article from Hemmings this morning about the XP. What was it, actually 77, that which became the Banshee from Pontiac, which I'm looking at the front and said, this thing has Opel lights in it. And then they said, yeah, they took the lights out of an Opel. It's the fenders out of from a 68 Corvette. Everything was sourced from other cars. It's got a GTO nose badge and Riviera door handles. They just built it out of, you know, parts, out of the parts bin. So.
Parts bin, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. Oh, Alana, I'm looking at the finish on that Opel. I want to take a wheel to it and buff that out. I want to put a shine on that paint.
Put a shine on it, you'll see all the dents. Right now it's kind of matte, so it blends in.
Yeah, it's totally matte, but I'm sure it was glossy at one time.
Yeah, listen, no fairness to the thousands of listeners out there. I'm going to sign off and let somebody else call in.
Okay, right. Bill. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Bill.
Alana, you're the best. I'll talk to you, okay?
Yeah, I hope to see you soon.
John, take care.
Thanks.
Be safe.
Thank you, Bill.
Very well talked.
Will do.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Bill. So long.
Bye-bye. Safe, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And there's Tom's favorite part, that sexy rear end. I agree. It's very Dino looking. Dino-esque.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I'll tell you what it needs, though. It needs a small block with a blower and a narrowed rear.
I like the smooth bumpers. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to tub the hell out of it.
John, you put a narrow rear in that car, there'll be no room to sit in it.
Now, you couldn't use huge, huge tires. You could probably go with like a 1331.
Listen, I saw a guy at Led East with a, what the heck was it? It was a, it was a Chevy. Oh, there's Tom's Engineering on the exhaust, which is fantastic.
Perfect. Shock mounted.
Yeah, except now that the muffler cracked.
Yeah, basically we just keep moving the weak point.
Yeah. Oh, I can't remember the type of car. It was one of those cars in the 80s. It was a real small Econo box from Chevy. I'm blanking out the name. And the guy basically, big block motor in the front, all engines, looked like a toy car. And in the back, the rear end, you see the rear end housing and about 4 inches of axle. And then it was just all tires because the thing was so narrow. Like, the axles were like the size of you could get a Hero that's bigger than the. That's crazy. So now that what's next in the video series for driving projects, Alana? You're going through the fleet pretty fast.
Yeah, I know. We're going to run out of cars. We'll have to buy some new ones. Tom's been looking at Jensen Interceptors.
Oh, yeah. There's a nice, easy car to work on.
Hey, they're 440s. We already know how to do it.
That is true.
We're going to probably try and shoot the Challenger either today or tomorrow. We haven't done that one yet. And so that's the next thing for our video series. And the rest of the, you know, I've just been doing some new car stuff, you know, for Edmunds and for Car and Driver. And so I'm working on a video for Edmunds that you guys will like, which was... They told me to make a list of the 10 best modern muscle cars right now. Ooh. Cars you can get right now.
And, 10 best? Wow.
You know, that it's a challenge, right? Because, like, initially, yeah. like, what? You can think of four, right?
Right.
Easy, yeah. This is the top four are easy, yeah.
Is there a
Challenger, Mustang?
Is there a monetary limit to that list? Or you can go...
got to make my own rules. Is that a phone call?
That's a phone call, yes. The other thing I want to mention, Alana, you did an interview with our friend Mark Green on Cars Yeah.
I did. It was so fun.
We had him on Playing in Traffic 2 weeks ago. It's another show that I'm involved in on Thursday nights. I'll send you some info if you want to do that show with us. We can.
Ray, we have Tom from Massapequa on the line. Let's see if we can get him. Tom! Okay.
Hello, Motomouth. Thank Tom. You for doing what you do. Today's show is quite interesting.
And
how
what
are you, my brother?
Find interesting most about it, Tom?
You're talking about some unique vehicles. I don't know much about the Opel, and I also like listening to Alana. She has some good insight. What is Alana's? I honestly don't know what she does besides what you've talked about on the show, her and her husband.
You know,
can you elaborate, please?
Alana, yeah, give your bio, please, because we did fail to do that.
Oh, yeah. You know, we just assumed, since we're all best friends, we assumed everybody knows who we are.
Yeah.
First of all, hello, Tom. Thanks for calling in. I'm an automotive journalist. I'm a freelance automotive journalist now, but when I first met the guys, I was working for Hot Rod Magazine. I think I met you guys because I came out and Bill was showing me around because I was doing a story about the history of street racing in New York, and then that turned into a story about all the little garages in New York and all the cool cars that people are building in these tiny garages. So we've all stayed in touch, and I worked for Hot Rod, and then for a while I was editor-in-chief of a magazine called Roadkill that was partnered with the TV show Roadkill. And then I went freelance about 3 years ago, and I've been doing stories for Road and Track, Car and Driver, been doing new car review video for Edmunds, and then my husband Tom and I, who have been working in our own garage this whole time, started doing a video series on YouTube called Challenge Her. I wanted to call it Challenge Them, but he said everybody knows me better as Challenge Her, so we've been doing videos just about our own fleet of junk and all the things that we're doing with it.
Yeah, and I'll tell people, you got to be careful, because when I was looking for your YouTube channel, I was, and I'm aware of Challenge Her, I sent you the link. I found some link to some, it was some Asian or Russian, it wasn't a weird, it wasn't an off taste thing, but it was just definitely not you. It was some like kids, they were doing like videos of their kids. I'm like, this isn't, what the hell is this? So double check your spelling.
Yeah, make sure it's Opals and tow trucks.
Right.
Well, Alana, thank you for explaining that. And guys, could you post a link or something? I'm very interested in Alana's stories about the small garages, people doing special projects in small garages.
Okay.
If you could post a link to that somewhere, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that was in Hot Rod Magazine. Yeah, about six. Yeah, okay. We'll dig
great.
That out for you, Tom. That's a great article. You know, the cool thing was, I know Alana wanted to come out here, so you know, I remember you asking me about contacts. I just sent you over to Billy G. I said, talk to this guy. He's got the key to the city, you know, so he'll hook you up. But and that's when we went to the Autoseum too, which has now closed its doors, but we kind of made the whirlwind trip. And that was when you got to come to the studio with us. You're one of the few out-of-town guests that we've had in the studio, which was always always very pleasurable.
Oh, it was a great trip.
Oh, good. Alana.
Yeah.
One of my questions to Alana is, did you grow up Southern California? Or like, what are you and your husband's background?
If you couldn't tell by my charming accent, yes, I'm very Southern California. But both my folks are New York born and bred, Rockaway Beach and Brooklyn. So, you know, I've got a connection to New York that way. Tom grew up in California as well, and we live in the San Fernando Valley now. Oh, you guys found it. That's great. Yeah, that's I'm so glad it's still up.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Thank you for that. Hey, one thing I just want to add to the show. I don't know if you guys know it. Guys, I don't know if you know it, but the show went back at one point when it went back 3 or 4 minutes on the air and replayed some of the sound. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what will happen, Tom. We will put this up. I'm recording it independently. It's going to go up on our website as usual later today. So if you want to hear the show in its entirety or download it, you can go to motormouthradio.com and you'll see it right on the homepage.
God bless everybody. Stay safe.
Tom.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye. Thank
so long. That was Tom from Massapequa checking in as always.
That's good that Tom asked those questions because, yeah, Alana's right. You know, it's like we just pick up from where we left off a lot of times.
we don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when, and I always say this is the type of show that does that. We're all basically like all in the same parking lot chatting it up. No one reviews who they were with. They've all basically pick up from where they left off. So it's nice when we do receive a call.
I was told that those links will be up today though. So, you can check motormouthradio.com for the latest. And we do have another call coming in. This is right under the wire here. But we'll see if this connects.
Phones. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Okay, hey, Chris. It's Danny.
Hey,
how
Dan.
Are you, Dan? I'm alive. What's going on? I just wanted to tell you. It's funny. That Opel, that was one of my favorite cars. And I love that. I remember I was going to looking for the, before I bought the bed, I was looking at that. But I remember they were hard to find.
They still are.
They still are. I was thinking the same
good
thing.
Good shape, yeah. Mm-hmm. Alana, what was the production on the Opals, do you know, in their run?
Oh, gosh, now you've really put me on the spot. It's more than you would think, and there were more sold in America than anywhere else, even though it's a German car. When it started becoming collectible, because Germany's very, very proud of the Opel, as they should be.
The Cortina, geez.
So people started actually importing them back to Europe from the U.S. because they were here than there were in Europe. The designer, Erhard Schnell, he just passed away just recently.
Oh, boy.
If you do a quick search online right now, you can find some really great history stories about the Opel because people did some really nice memorial stories about the designer.
Nice.
So that's
really
cool.
Wow. There you go,
Dan. I remember seeing a yellow one, as a kid. And it's funny because when I think about it, all the cars I have were cars that I was influenced as a kid, first time I seen the 68 Vet or the Bullet Mustang. I mean, I was just lucky enough to buy them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised I never got there because I always liked these. So it was a beautiful car.
None of us have them all, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
I know. Tell me about it. Yeah, and then it's funny. I tell you, what do you call Chris? When you sell something, like I sold all the Rivieras, and I can't even look at one. Tell you honestly.
Yeah.
It's
true.
It bothers you. Like, I don't know. I hate to sell stuff.
No, it's true, Dan. I totally understand. You get like a little seller's remorse. It's the truth.
Yeah, I know. It's
very
crazy,
true.
But not funny. I was laughing before when you guys would say with the dents. The Vespa had fell on the BMW, before, and I got a little ding, and it killed me. I'm saying, automatically, the minute I look at the car, my eyes fix to that little ding.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, Dan, I hate to cut you in mid story, but we're going to have to wrap because we're at the end of our time here.
All right, guys. Nice talking to you, and hopefully, not
losing
next week.
Thanks, Dan.
Sounds good, Dan.
All right. For Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino here, thanking Alana and John for stopping in today. Alana, you can stay with us for a little bit and chat if you'd like, but we have to get off the air. We got another show coming in, so we're going to get out of here. Chris, what do you say?
Don't follow us home!
90.3 WHPC.